Good morning, church. My name is Marlon Mobola-Kafuamfwa. I am the team coordinator for the Connection Group Ministry here at MLFC. If you're a guest, or maybe you've never heard about Connection Group, it's the small groups we have at MLFC, the cell groups, the Ifitente. And I hope everybody is actually part of Ifitente here. Okay. So I'll be facilitating today's service, and I believe that by the end of our series, everybody will be a participator in our connection groups. Now, one thing I would like to actually let you know, I am very happy that I'm here on stage this morning, because 90% of people who've received an email from me, who've never met me, will always respond and say, "Dear Mr. Marlon." So today, I'm glad that is settled. Amen. So as we start our service, please let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together as your children and to listen from your throne of grace. Lord, as we open up our hearts, we pray that God, may your word settle in our lives, enabling us to transform and be more like Jesus Christ. We thank you that your word, O God, that has been inspired by your spirit, is going to come into our lives to correct, rebuke, teach, and train us in all righteousness. We pray that you shall receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, Pastor Sammy started a sermon series, Spectator to Participator. And he titled his sermon, Connected by Design. Today we want to pick that up. We want to delve deeper into the connection part. Why do we need to connect? Connections are actually the basis of our relationships. And as we come to Christ, we are actually being invited into relationships with God and with each other. So today, to help me actually dive deeper into that topic, I have a wonderful panel. I have Reverend Sakala. Reverend Andrew Sakala, most of you know him, but if you want to get to know him better, please sign up for Rema. I call him our resident instructor. And we also have Dr. Francesca Waliachama. She's a psychiatrist with Chinama Hills Hospital, and she is so eager to help us with our mental health issues. Thank you. We also have Bridget. Bridget is a connection group leader, and she loves writing. Oh, she writes. She is so good at writing. She writes everything she feels. She just puts it out there. So she's going to actually share her story on connection. So please be attentive. Let's stay together as we go through this service. Amen. Okay, so to set the ball rolling, I'll just ask you guys to just tell us one thing about yourself. Reverend, what is your favorite chill activity?
You'd be surprised to know that I enjoy watching things like Terminator.
I hope everybody knows Terminator. You can tell which generation he's from, eh?
Get rid of the bad guys. That sort of thing. But anyway, I like documentaries, you know, and such like Animal Planet, stuff like that to watch.
Wonderful. And that helps you relax.
Yes.
Okay. Doc, what do you do?
I love dancing.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying I'm a very good dancer, but I love dancing.
You don't need to be good to love it, but we get you. We get you. I think we have very few dance schools around, eh? We should start one, eh?
I think so.
Yeah. And Bridget?
I love reading.
You love reading. Yeah. As that's why you love writing.
Yeah.
Bridget is always writing, guys. Okay, thank you so much. So, let's start our discussion today. So, we're looking at connection. And our title today is Connected Through Christ. What is connection? I'll start with Doc.
So connection, relational connection, is that aspect of interactions and where bonds are created to facilitate mutual understanding between people, and through that it builds empathy, it builds trust, and also creates safety. So it involves several activities, and a big part of it is sharing experiences, sharing different experiences, milestones in life, difficulties that people are going through, achievements that people are experiencing, and also important is sharing a common goal and helping each other growing towards a certain goal or achievement.
That is packed. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Rev, what is the biblical perspective of connection?
Okay. It's very important for us to appreciate that God is a relational God. And three important aspects that I'd like to just highlight on that is that the way you relate to God, what you believe about him, really affects how you conduct yourself. And so in understanding the truth of God's word, it helps you to relate in the way that God wants you to relate. So God is relational in nature. It's the Godhead, the Trinity, a mystery that we won't fully understand. But he says, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. So God is already relational in nature. But not only that, he also says when he created the man, he says it's not good that the man be alone. And therefore I'll make him a helpmeet, somebody suitable, somebody appropriate for him to have relationship with. And so he relates his nature to his creation as well. And so he also further goes and shows us that in relationship is also intentional. His intent is that we live in relationship. So you were created with a desire to connect with people. You were never created to be in isolation. It's an abnormal condition to be isolated. He wants you to be connected. And then thirdly, his actions also show that he wants us to be relational. Remember in the scriptures when man fell, then God comes in the cool of the day, and it seems to have been a habit of fellowship with men. What a privilege Adam and Eve had. So he would come in the cool of the day, and he was looking for them, so to speak, and they were hidden. So relationship is the foundation of every human existence. So we must remember that. So if you are isolated, you're not in a normal condition.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that. And talking of isolation, I remember, Bridget, in one of your write-ups, you actually said there was a season when you were in isolation. Could you please share what it was like in that season?
So my isolation journey started off innocently.
Bridget, I need you to.
Oh, sorry. My isolation journey started off innocently but deceptively, in that I rationalized watching a sermon on a Sunday with fellowship. So before I knew it, one Sunday turned into a month and now into 5 years. So a time reached when I had a personal crisis in my life, and that couldn't do it for me because I needed personal affection that TV, in a sense, couldn't give me. So I knew about connection groups prior to being isolated. So when I came back to church, I came with the understanding, I knew what would make me grow, and now I experienced that deficit in my life. So I came straight to church and sought a connection group immediately.
Wow. That was actually a privilege. So hearing Bridget's story, Doc, this shows that whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we will crave connection. Do you have, can you give us any examples of what that looks like, us craving relationship or craving connection?
Indeed, Marlon. And just to emphasize the aspect that Reverend Sakala brought up, God is the creator, and he went ahead of science. Because even through science, it's being shown that connection, relational connection, is a basic need for human life. There are even a number of models. One of the major models is the relational cultural theory. It's one of the major models of human development. This theory talks around individuals needing to be to grow through community, through relationship, and that actually happens through the whole lifespan of an individual. So it's a basic need. Just like the way we need water, food, air, we are social beings. And it's through those interactions that we thrive, that we grow, and it actually contributes to our general well-being, which is our health. So the Creator knew, and science is saying the same thing, re-echoing what the Creator put in place.
Wow. I remember a few weeks ago, I think it was Conrad and Pastor Walker, who actually even highlighted the aspect to say, we will actually gravitate to spaces where we feel we belong. So even if it's a bad gang, as long as that connection is being met. So we have been designed that way. Okay, thank you for that. Now, Rev, in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 and 15, the scripture says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven..." Every family in heaven and on earth is named. So this actually to me shows God's intentionality about us being in family. What do we find there?
Yes, very good. Family is God's design. That's what he intended. You become a child of God. You see, a child belongs to some parent. So you become a child of God, not by... in a sense, birth, but by an act that took place on Calvary. As you accept the gift of God bringing you back into relationship with him, you become a child of God and you enter God's family. So it's important for us to appreciate that God's intent right from the beginning is to have family. Uh-huh. You know, with Adam and Eve, and even when the earth was destroyed in chapter 6 of Genesis, where God, in fact, prior to the destruction, he tells Noah to take two pairs of animals because he wanted to perpetuate the idea of family, you know, even with animals. And so he works this ideal to show the family orientation by love, unity, and mutual responsibility that you can't do away with. And if that is not evident in your experience, then you're not living a normal godly life, you know, so to speak. So you are supported in community. It's part of God's idea to have you supported. Let me just quote, if you don't mind, I'll quote Galatians 6, which says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So you are supported in that community. Not only are you supported, but you are also safer in a community. The Bible says, with all loneliness, in Ephesians 4, very close to the passage that you quoted, Ephesians 4, "With loneliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So that is a safe place for you to be. Lastly, apart from that, it's also the fact that you become stronger in a community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, "Two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor." So it's important for us to appreciate that this is God's design, and we reach our fullest potential by doing it God's way. You know, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. So Doc, here we have established that both natural and spiritual family are God's design. So in the natural, how do we cultivate our connections in a family setup?
So in the family setup, connection actually just starts at birth. We should pay attention when a baby is born, they're crying, and immediately they'll ask the mother to hold their baby, and they'll be calm. And that connection continues to grow. As the baby cries, the mother responds, and the caregivers and other people around respond. This baby starts creating a trust, safety. They get to appreciate the facial expression, recognize more people around the family. And through that, relational connection is already being cultivated. And now through infancy, they start appreciating more. Of course, initially as a baby, it's more of receive, 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 right? But it's expected that as they keep growing, they'll now start modeling the people around them. The care that they're receiving, it should be reciprocal. They'll now also start giving that care to others. So it will be through shared experiences. As they are celebrated, their achievements, their goals, when they are down, they are supported. They are learning. And they also start learning to do that for others. But other than modeling, it is also important to verbalize it at times to guide.
Right.
And other than that as well, you also realize that this happens gradually. And through those various experiences, as you are deliberate for open communication, for the person to be vulnerable, to be genuine, value themselves, build a self-esteem, they'll learn to reciprocate the same to others. They'll learn to trust, to feel safe, and they'll be confident in their own skin. And they'll be able to create such spaces for others as well. Initially, ideally, within family. But that is something that someone can learn throughout their life, even if they didn't initially experience that in their family. But you have to be deliberate about it if you didn't, and you didn't learn it earlier.
Wow, that is powerful. So which means that since both families, the natural and the spiritual families, have been designed by God, even those natural principles do apply in the spiritual principles. So which means we have a responsibility in the family of God.
Yes.
Okay. So Bridget, when you reconnected, at what point did you start feeling that you're now part of a family?
I was fortunate to find a very good connection group. So from inception, I did feel connected, but obviously I had to observe for a week or two. But I remember the defining moment being when I opened up about my children's diagnosis. They both were diagnosed as autistic, and we're discussing, I think, about finances at the time. But I just felt this overwhelming love of God in that meeting, and God was just saying, release it. And I broke down, and that day they prayed for me, they loved on me, and something our connection group leaders would always say to every participant who joined was, we look forward to tap into the grace that God has put on your life, but you should also look forward to tap on the grace of each individual here. So even as I was there, I knew this was a safe environment where I could not only give of myself, but I would receive vulnerability as well in return.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Bridget. So to actually just emphasize that point, I would like us to watch a video. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's very deep. So please pay attention, and we'll continue the conversation in a moment.
Hi, guys. So now let's hop into the first of the specific issues that drive all of these changes that are going to heal us. Now, when you build a house, you wouldn't think of building a house without a foundation, right? But oftentimes, we're living life, and there's some cracks in our very foundation. That very foundation of what it means to be human is being connected relationally. Now, we talk a lot about our connection to God, but also God has put us in bodies. We have an incarnational gospel. This invisible God created humans with real bodies and flesh, and He also created us with relationships to provide a lot of that foundational connectedness that we need in order to thrive. Let me tell you about a man that came to see me one time. He was a renowned heart surgeon and famous guy. You know, medical centers named after him. But he developed an addiction, and that addiction had to do with sex. And they found out he had been sleeping with all the nurses and hospital administrators and just, you know, acting out all over the place in this famous, renowned career he had. Well, he got in a lot of trouble. But his wife and his business partners, they said, you know what, we'll stick with you if you resolve this problem. So he called me, said, I got a plan. I had a big fall, I got a plan. and I want to come review my plan with you. So he came out and we sat and blocked out a day. I said, well, you know, tell me about your plan. And he says, well, you know, I'm spiritual disciplines. I'm going to be studying the Word and I'm going to be praying and reading some books. And you know, I found out I wasn't really meeting my wife's needs. And so now I'm going to, you know, every day I'm going to come home instead of checking out and having a few martinis and just vegging because I was up at 4 and did 5 surgeries. I'm going to connect with her and you know, take her on a walk and bring out in her what, you know, what, and all of this stuff. And he said, what do you think? I said, well, actually, I'm here getting very depressed. He said, why? I said, because I'm concerned about your wife. He said, why? I said, because you're going to do this again. I guarantee you're going to do this again. He said, what are you talking about? This is a good plan. This is what my pastor helped me. I said, I know it's all these things are good, but doctor, let me tell you something about the human heart. This is a renowned heart surgeon. He goes, okay, fine. I said, aren't there like 2 pipes going in and 2 pipes going out? You know, the blood comes in and then it goes out. And he says, well, yeah, kind of. I said, well, you got some clogged arteries. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you got everything you're doing, everything in your plan is outflow. It's output. There's nothing coming in. None of this is basically going to meet any of your needs. He said, well, yeah, I guess. But it was sort of foreign to him until I asked him a question. I said, where did you learn that life was all about you just output? Just, you know, it all depended on you. And when I said that, he looks at me and he said, I can tell you exactly where it was. I said, what happened? He told me a story about when he was in high school. His father was an alcoholic and they sent him off for rehab. His father disappears. And when that happened, his mother had a nervous breakdown, is what they called it back then. She went into a psychiatric hospital for 2 years. He had 3 or 4 young siblings. He said, I walked out into the yard and I realized, I guess it all depends on me now. And he had to parent those kids. And he started giving. He started serving. He said, then I went to college. I was pre-med and I studied all the time and I worked and all this kind of stuff. And then I went to medical school and then I went into residency and then I started doing surgeries. And for 15, 20 years, he said, I'm up at 4 every morning. I do surgeries and, you know, all this administrative. He said, yeah, that's all I do. He said, is that what you're talking about? He said, I have been on output mode for a long time. I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, when I think of you, wherever you live, I don't know what life has dealt your way, but, you know, people get abused, people get neglected. Some parenting styles really don't fill up a kid to grow up into a connecting person. Sometimes you were that way and you find yourself again in a context now that I mentioned that you're just really, you have people around you, but the clogged arteries of not receiving by being vulnerable what you need from others, you're not getting filled up. You're running on an empty tank. But there's a lot of symptoms that come from our feeling emotionally disconnected. You know, feeling like our needs for comfort and support and healing and nurturing and even encouragement, that we're not really getting that because it's hard for us to trust. It's hard for us to walk in that space of vulnerability. You know, I bet you've been on an airplane sometime in the last couple of years. When you're on the airplane, did you notice that you got your cell phone, you're working on stuff, but it hits a limit? You can only work on the email or the problems or the data and or the applications that you have on there. Well, as soon as you land that plane, what do? You hit the power button and it jumps to life and immediately, see, there's a chip installed in that phone. And immediately, up in the top left-hand corner, what does it say? Searching. Searching for a connection. And then it connects to that network, and what happens? It goes to a whole different level. Updates are installed that make the symptoms go away. Programs are installed that allow it to get to the next level. Well, think about your symptoms. The depression, maybe the eating disorders, the anxiety, the addictions, like I mentioned. Stress and burnout. Well, a lot of those bugs that we carry around, those can't get better until we're connected and the network some significant, loving, caring, grace-filled relationships around us can begin to provide the comfort and the healing that you need. But oftentimes we're cut off from that. I've never seen an addiction. I've never seen a stress problem. I've never seen a depression. I've never seen any of this stuff, or a relational issue or a performance issue. I've never seen it get better without this core ingredient of connectedness that God provides for us. You know, you think about the gospel. That's the first step, right? God doesn't give you a program, a diet program, or here's how you get over anxiety program and download it, you know, from the mountaintop. Oh, yeah, he did that, right? He gave us a program. It was called the law. Moses came and he said, here's the way it works, guys. But it didn't work. The Bible says that it was powerless to work. These rules and these methods and following these plans, absolutely necessary and absolutely insufficient. So the law was meant to show us how we ought to be, but we're unable to reach it. Why? Because we didn't have the connection with God and with His body, with His people. Didn't have the connection that was going to fuel us to be able to reach those standards, fuel us to be able to continue in that growth path. You may be trying to do everything you know to do, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, but the fuel is missing. You know, you take somebody with an addiction and they've been struggling over and over and over and over, and they repent and they feel bad. They say, I'm going to do it this time. But they keep going back into it, and it happens for years and years and years until somebody comes along and says, hey, why don't you come join my group here where we deal with stuff like that? And what happens? They show up in that group and they begin to open up and they get reconnected. And this magical, unexplainable spiritual dynamic. Philosophers, physicists, everybody's been trying to explain, what's this mind-body? How can something immaterial, invisible, like love, how can that fuel a physical being to get to a higher level and overcome stress and anxiety and disease and all this stuff because they're in a supportive environment? How does that work? We don't know how it works, but it works. Well, I'll tell you why it works. It works because God, this invisible spiritual being, this energy called love, who is a person, when He connects with us, and here's the kicker, and He tells us that now that He's ascended, that He's put His Spirit in others, so where two or more are gathered in one place, He's connecting with you, that connection, that's, as Ephesians 4 says, that body being connected and held together. When it begins to do this, it says the whole body heals itself up, or heals itself as each part does its work. So when we sit in a group and we start to express our pain and somebody's there and they hear and they nurture and all of that, this magical healing begins to happen. You take an infected finger, you put it in a drawer, tell it to study a book on anatomy. It's not going to get well. But that book on anatomy says it needs to be connected to the body that's going to give it new blood, new oxygen, and immune system, and all this stuff. So you get it back connected, and then the healing happens. Doctors will tell you they don't heal anybody. They just do for the body what the body needs to heal itself. Well, God has called you to be in this kind of vulnerable, connected, bonded place. I hope that's where you are now, and if you're not, I hope you get into one. So you can be part of a church that heals, a group that heals, and you get reconnected from a vulnerable place. And as you do, you're going to find incredible healing that you didn't know was possible.
Amazing. Simply amazing. The grace that we have for one another. I'll start with you, Rev. One thing I noticed from the video is that this doctor was in isolation. And he didn't know how to connect. And yet he was hurting. What does God say about people who are hurting, people who are in pain, who've been wounded in relationships? And how can we reflect that in our family connection groups?
Right. I think it's important for us to accept that each one of us has a threshold. You know, we have a limit to how much we can withstand and sometimes how much we can take. Every one of us has a limit. And so God gives us dependability. You know, He gives us he's created us to be interdependent, not independent. He wants us to relate with each other because you're insufficient on your own. Even the best of us, the great prayer warriors, also have moments when they are really depressed. You know, in fact, I can list in the scriptures how that the great Elijah was suicidal. David was an adulterer. Moses had anger problems. You know, so welcome to the club. You are part of a real life situation where God requires you to feed off other people and to allow yourself to be healed through the grace that Bridget talked about, the grace that comes through other people. And you see, if you isolate yourself, you put yourself in a position where, as a matter of fact, without really getting too spooky for you, you put yourself in a position where the devil can easily work with you. But when you are among believers, you are safer, and then the impact of the Spirit of God working in fellow believers helps you feed in off them and to get healing and help through them. And so, how does God respond? God does not reject you. He embraces you, regardless of what your condition is. In fact, I could cite the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus didn't say, you know, you're condemned. In verse 4, I beg your pardon, verse 10 of, I believe it's John 8, in verse 10, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Even Peter, the great Peter, he rejected Jesus three times, but Jesus had already prophesied. He said, when you are restored, strengthen your brothers. So God accepts you the way you are, just the way you are. You don't have to try and perform. What Dr. Cloud said was, we're always output performing. In fact, some of you are good pretenders, very good pretenders. How are you? I'm fine. When you're not really fine. You see, but it's in a place of vulnerability where you can relate truthfully from your heart as to where you are at in your walk with God. And then you'll find help, you know, and get the necessary transformation that you need. And through the people that God has placed around you. And I think that's very important for us to appreciate that God uses people. And that's his design. And he accepts you just the way you are, regardless of how badly you are.
Thank you. I even remember from what Bridget actually said, to say when she got to the group, she felt accepted.
Right.
And this just ties in with Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. So when Bridget actually went to a connection group, she felt accepted and she was able to be vulnerable. But Doc, at times people don't even recognize or realize that they're actually in isolation. Are there any symptoms that people can actually gauge and say, I think right now I'm suffering from isolation?
Yes. Initially, as we said, we are social beings, right? So if you find yourself suddenly used to enjoy interacting with family, friends, going for some exercise, different activities, then all of a sudden you're not enjoying those things. You're staying away from them, not only because you're busy, even when opportunities have presented themselves, you find yourself deliberately staying away. Even when you're invited, you have, especially if it persists for a while, you have to take time to reflect. What's going on? What's causing that? If you're able to correct it, good. But if you notice that it persists, try and reach out. Open up, be vulnerable to someone. And sometimes even ask someone to help you through the journey. Then another important aspect is that sometimes when individuals are going through different struggles or stresses in life, they'll isolate themselves, they will not even realize it. They might even start going into depression gradually, and they will not realize it. So it also takes, again, community, family, friends, workmates, churchmates, CG mates, to be able to recognize that, okay, Francisca, she's not her usual self, right? The people around, the responsibility again comes back to us as a community to look out for each other, to reach out when we see someone who was consistent is no longer consistent, someone who was actively involved in different activities is no longer doing those activities, or their demeanor is different. We reach out for such an individual. Going back to connectedness and being in a community, because you need to be a community for people to even be able to identify that about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, thank you. And you said something very profound there, to say that when you find yourself in problems, I think the first instinct is for you to actually isolate. Yeah, but in this case, that's the time we need to actually reach out to others. Thank you for that, Doc. Bridget, when you joined the connection group from Dr. Cloud's video, we noticed that this doctor had to be vulnerable. What made it easy for you to be vulnerable to the group?
I think coming from the wilderness journey I had experienced, I had nothing to lose at this point. Mm. I was in a very desperate situation for just spiritual nourishment, not just to talk about my problems, because I had come to the end of myself. Mm. You know, and in a sense, the situations that were replaying in my mind became an idol. So when I got back, when I came to a connection group, seeing how vulnerable they all were, and how there was no partiality from our leaders, automatically I just settled in from inception. But I gave it a week or two for me to be vulnerable. So I would say around the second week, somewhere there.
And you experienced that safety net where you could actually be vulnerable.
Yes, and as we went along, it wasn't about the issues, but I'd found a home where I could enjoy Christ with. Mm-hmm. You know, it became about God, you know, and just the love that He has for people. And that translated in my own home, in my capacity as a mother, in my capacity as a friend and as a wife. Mm. So it had a ripple effect, even though it started from the community, from the church community.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So from this, we're able to tell that vulnerability is not automatic. Would you want to speak into that, Doc?
Indeed. A number of people may be blessed to have grown up in very healthy homes. You're nourished well, supported, encouraged. But that may not be the case for everyone. So there are some things that others realize, others may not realize, that could be contributing for them not to connect. Mm. They're not in an emotionally safe place. First, as an individual, even before they come to the connect group or to the community. And some of these things could be things like fear of intimacy because of past hurts, past disappointments. It could be fear of abandonment. Mm. Maybe they experienced some neglect at some point in their life, or they didn't have consistent care. It could be aspects of rejection. Hmm. So they don't know, they're unsure. When I go into the space, what will I get? And for others, it could be various type of emotional or attachment wounds. Maybe they were abused. And some of those things are barriers that maybe they don't even realize that they have. Hmm. And for some of them, that becomes a protective mechanism, right? Mm. They don't even want to give it a chance, because as much as they desire this relational connectedness, they self-sabotage because they don't want to still risk some of these fears that they have. Mm. So it's okay. Be vulnerable. Take that step. Mm. Maybe initially it might not feel safe, but you have to be deliberate about this journey. Keep applying yourself. You might find the first space, you're like, okay, this is not my space. Continue searching. Mm. Don't stop or stay away, because you need it. Mm.
And there's no other way. For us to overcome the many bugs, as Dr. Cloud said, the many bugs you've just listed, the only way is for us to actually find that connection.
Indeed. Mm. Unfortunately, the hurt happens in the connection or in the community, but the healing, the growth cannot happen in isolation. Mm. It has to be back in community. So just find those lovely places, safe places, church, connection group, best place to be.
Amen, amen, amen. So, to wind up our discussion in 1 minute each, what would you tell somebody who is afraid of connecting? Rev.
Okay, I like what Dr. Francesca said here. You know, the reality of life is such that it's imperfect. There's experiences that are not good. You know, like she said, some are afraid of intimacy because you've been rejected before. You know, there was someone in Rhema who brought up this thing, and we dealt with it by highlighting the fact that life is dynamic. You know, somebody has rejected you. And some of you want to commit suicide for being rejected. You know, just chill. Because there's going to be another chick who will come along. There'll be another dude who will come along. There are more than 4 billion that you can choose from. So there's a way in which we must look at life, and God gives us opportunity, even through the experiences that we go through, to be able to engage and get better. So be encouraged that you can be vulnerable. It may have not worked the first time, but that's the way life should be. Be vulnerable, open up, let somebody know what you're dealing with, and let them minister to you. Because in a connection of community, you are accepted, you know, without needing to perform. You're accepted just the way you are. You're also affirmed in that community, and not only that, you're also assisted. So be encouraged to keep going, and there's a brighter day. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has a hope and a future for you. Amen. So tomorrow is better than yesterday.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And scripture in Psalm 34, verse 18, says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So we even have God to lean on in our moments where we feel very, very broken. And he is a God, a Father who understands our brokenness. So let's not give up. Doc, in under a minute, Reverend Sakala is a preacher, so give him a minute. He takes 3 minutes. Please, under 1 minute, a word for somebody who is seeking.
True progress in life, healing, growth, can never happen in isolation.
Amen.
It's in community. So reach out. But other than that, it's not just for you, it's for the other person.
Mm.
You've got a lot to give.
Amen. Thank you for that. Bridget?
I think something we learned from the series of Daniel was there's more than one way to look at something. So get yourself in a connection group where there are people outside of your circumstance. Like, you'll be able to see things from a different angle and find your issue actually is not that big compared to
what others
are going through. And you will get hurt, but it's in being hurt that the fruits of the Spirit will be cultivated in you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you just embrace it.
And she's speaking from experience. So as we end, can we have the scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 13? Because you might be wondering, why do I need to heal? Why do I need to grow? Because God expects us to grow to measuring up to the standard of Christ. He has called us in this relationship that we may continue until we all come to such unity in our faith as one body. We come to a level where we are all united, believing in the same thing, moving as a united body. And the knowledge of God's Son, where we all know about Jesus Christ to his fullness. So that we might become mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. That scripture challenges me every day. We need to actually measure up to the standard of Christ. Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Are you loving God with your heart, with your mind and your soul? That is the standard of Christ. If you gauge yourself today, right now, where are you at? If you're not connected, we have our tables outside. If you're not in a connection group, go and register. We have beautiful, beautiful things that have been set outside for you to go and connect. There are even snacks. So that as you try to make that decision, you might be motivated to connect. So please go to the tables. There's even a photo booth in the balloon stand. You can go and take a picture so that we see you now. And after you connect, you take another picture of yourself. There'll be the after picture. So please don't miss out. Amen. Thank you for your attention. I now call upon Pastor Sammy to wind up the service. Thank you, panelists.